I'm going to begin with something. I always struggle with what to talk about, but you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament start in a very similar way. And what they do in the beginning of both of those testaments is state some, probably the most important thing to know and comprehend about God and then Christ in their opening verses. The Old Testament begins, and that's where we're going to spend a lot of our time with, because it's a very important foundational belief. The New Testament begins with a very fundamental foundational statement which we must believe. And so, Genesis 1:1, which if anything is under attack by modern world and for I don't know how long, it's these opening chapters in the book of Genesis. So let us begin there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And this is the ESV version, which puts it in, it's a translation which puts it in more modern language. And it's very important. So we have here the beginning of time. And God doesn't dwell in time, but people do, right? People do. And so this is the beginning of time of the created things. And God created the heavens, and this is the space. Humans have to live in space. They have to have a place. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He doesn't need space. But there was a space before God created the heaven where the birds fly, and the heaven where the stars, sun, moon, and stars dwell. There was a place where He dwelt, and we call that heaven. Paul called it what? The third heaven. So, space. And He created the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that, as we're going to read in verse 2, in my opinion, it's just all the atoms and all the elements that are. What? It's matter. We call it matter. And what does our science, human science, say about matter? I'm sure there's an engineer that should know that. Can't be created or destroyed, but God did, right? He created it. He created everything that is. So, but in verse 1, the earth was without form. It was void, and it was dark. So what seems to be, we have all this stuff suspended without any shape, without any life, without any light. Well, what changed that? Well, it was the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the water. So all this matter, all these elements and atoms were suspended in water. Spirit of God, one version I read says it fluttered. And we have turbines, and when a force goes through them and they start turning, what does it generate? Energy and power. And I am told, I am not a scientist in any fashion, but that even the smallest atom has a spark of energy in it. And that That's a power source. And that's what the Spirit of God did. It gave the earth a sphere. It gave it gravity. It gave it inertia. It started moving. And how do we know that the earth was spinning? Because we had night and day. So there was light coming, even though there was no sun and moon. And the earth was spinning and rotating on an axis. And so all these things are, isn't that remarkable? And in my mind, something like this is far more rational and reasonable than to suggest that there was a singularity of all the atoms and energy in a spot so small you could barely see it, and then suddenly it had exploded, and wow, we have stars, we have Earth. But that's exactly the kind of things they're teaching in our schools and our universities. And to believe other than some Big Bang evolutionary theory, you're pretty simple-minded. You're pretty naive. But yet, I look at it and I say, how can something come from nothing? How can energy come from a non-energy place? How can life come from a non-life thing? It just can't. That's ridiculous and naive, in my opinion. And before I go further, I want to say, isn't this exactly how God works today in the life of a Christian? When we go down into the water, we don't have any form of righteousness. We're void of anything which should make us acceptable to God. But yet, when we go down confessing that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and we go down into the water with a repentant heart, we come up a new creation because the Spirit of God is there waiting to dwell within us. That's what the New Testament teaches. And that's what God did on this very day. He took a formless, shapeless, powerless, and turned it into a heaven and an earth. In verse 3, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So, in that, there's a lot said right there. Does God allow millions or billions of years in this statement? Well, a day was longer back then. Wow. That means the night was longer too, right? How many of your plants would survive a week of darkness? Or a month of darkness? Have you ever put something on your lawn? Have you ever forgot to stop the newspaper and you come back after a week's vacation and the newspaper's laying in the yard? What? When you pick that up, what's underneath it? Dead stuff. So this all makes sense. Billions of years in between this does not make sense. I got to go to the New Testament and in John, the first chapter, and bring some of this stuff together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And who are we talking about? We're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So just as He was the power behind the light that lights the earth and gives light to us, so he is the life of the believer and the light of his life, and the life is his light. Verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. So this is the place where the birds fly, where the clouds. Well, at this time there was no cloud, but when we look up, we see this is where the birds fly, clouds. This is where, in our day, the airplanes fly. So, it's kind of hard to understand this, but there's a lot of good science behind this. Because if we have a... this is where I was going to draw. So you who are listening might not hear much. That's supposed to represent rotation and the sun. So one of the things we see here, what part of the earth is not getting direct sunlight? None of it. And it wasn't until, and I'll briefly say this, it wasn't until after the flood that the earth tilted on its axis. What happens in this scenario? What part of the earth does not get sunlight? Well, at certain times, the poles do not. So one of the things that, and in between here, there was water on the earth. We call that oceans. And then there was water above the earth. And then there was expanse in here that we call heaven or the sky. Well, a lot of these things, where do we get storms from? When cold air meets hot air. Well, in the beginning, everything was an even temperature. It was paradise. Things could grow all over the earth. But after the flood, things changed. The earth tilted on its axis. We started getting extreme cold, extreme hot, extreme cold, and these things created great storms. And the earth had a time of settlement where glaciers covered a lot of the earth. And it was a very harsh place to live. But during the flood, this firmament, what happened to the windows of the heavens? They were opened up and all this water above the earth fell down. The earth was quite different in the beginning when God created it. It was a perfect place to live. And a lot of people could explain that a lot better than I. But that, check into that. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And isn't it something? God said it was so. God said it was so. It wasn't random. Not a chance. Not left to chance. Verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And everything God created was what? Good. In evolution, is everything good? If we look at that process, is everything good? No. It's the survival of what? The fittest. The strong dominate the weak. That's not good. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the third day. What, especially in things like flowers and fruit, what is necessary for the system of growth? Well, water, sunlight, something we don't like very much. Pollen, and who spreads the pollen? So wouldn't insects have to evolve at pretty much exactly the same time? We need all this stuff together. It can't exist without the other. And you know what? I've heard it explained. I've sat in classrooms as a younger person, and it just doesn't make sense. I don't care how many letters a guy has after his name. What they suggest doesn't even make sense. Doesn't even make sense. The 14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens. So here we have another heaven. This is where, and let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens. So we're going to see sun, moon, and stars who separate the day from the night. Even though, this is interesting, even though the earth was spinning, there was day and there was night. No sun yet, but yet it was acting as if they were. Stars a billion light years away, according to science, but yet their beams of light were coming and lighting the earth. So that's one of the objections. They said, well, how come we're seeing light from stars billions of light years away, and you say the earth is only 6,000, 7,000... Well, God who made the star also made its beam of light. So when God said, let there be expanse in the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and it was so. So he who created the star also created its channel of light, its path to the earth. And so, boom, the light and the star. It didn't take a billion years. God said, and it was so. And God made, verse 16, two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And I wanna mention something that Adam read for us this morning. There was no rain on the earth, right? How did the earth get its water? How did the dry land get its water? Well, here's what I think. We have the sun, and we have the moon. What does the moon do to water? Great bodies of water. It moves them, doesn't it? We have tides. And so when the earth is in a right aspect with the moon draws water to it, and so it comes up to the shore. And when the moon, its aspect changes, that water goes back and it goes to the place where it is pulling a force. We can look in the earth's crust. And you can investigate this, and it's very porous. It had a very porous thing. And the waters that were under the earth, I think when the moon came around, it pulled dew up from the earth. And that's how it was watered. They say during the flood that the moon probably moved further out, so it has less of an impact than it once did. Anyway, so these were things, and that was the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And I'm so glad, as we're running out of time, that I mentioned, how does life come from non-life? It doesn't. It comes because God says, let them have life, and He gives them life. He has the power to do that. It doesn't just evolve. It doesn't just happen. God said, that should be evident. Creation should be the evidence of my divine Godhead and eternal power. And yet, many people, it says they willingly took that from their knowledge and from their awareness. 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And so here, this is where the bugs and the insects and the bees that do so many important things to our ecology, this is where they came. There couldn't have been a billion years a gap. The fruit trees would have died out, and the flowers and all that. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. We were made to use all the things God gave us to use. The trees, all that stuff. Investigate, explore, learn how to use it to your benefit. It's yours. Use it. Enjoy it. This was his plan. Then God said, after all this, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that liveth. So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. And I always wondered, as impossible it is that man evolved, how unlikely is it that woman evolved at exactly the same times? In other words, in evolution, when did man say, oh, we need a partner? It didn't. It just didn't happen that way. We're still in the sixth day. Verse 29. And God said, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is in the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. If you remember to your childhood, do you remember all the violence that existed in a prehistoric landscape. Pretty violent. Beast devouring weaker beast and so on. But in the beginning, there were no carnivores. There were no meat eaters. There was the vegetation. There was no death. Death comes from sin. And God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And from what Brother Adam read for us this morning, let's quickly go there. And the second chapter, the fourth verse begins with this. These are the generations of the heaven and the earth. So that's a recount of what happened on those first 6 days. I've heard a lot of people say, well, what happened on the first 6 days was destroyed, and then a new creation began in chapter 2, verse 4. God made a mistake. He corrected it in verse 4. That's not true. What those are, and there's several of these. These are the generations of the heaven and the earth. These are the generations of Adam. These are the generations of Noah. These are the generations of Abraham, and on and on and on. They're a recap of the things that happened. There's a lot we could go on to say, but I'll say this in closing. Is this really a 7-day creation? If it was not, God has misled us. Because when we go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, He says, remember the Sabbath. What did God do on the seventh day? He rested. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. We have a pattern God's giving us. But the seventh day is a Sabbath. It's a rest day. It's a cessation from work to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or any in your family, not your livestock, nothing. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Moses knew what a day was. And God said, I created everything that is in 6 days, and I rested on the seventh. And that's why we have a week. We work. And on seven days, or today it's the Lord's Day, we come together, we rest from our work, we worship. And how good it is to be here. I was, during the Lord's Supper, I said, how good is it to sing songs of praise and commemorate the Lord's death together as a body. How wonderful that is. And how refreshing from our labors of the previous 6 days. And that's the pattern God gave us. I wish we could say more. There's a lot more to say. But I encourage you to look at the Bible and consider all the wonderful works of the Lord that He has done to bless us. And none more than what He has done through Jesus Christ, His Son, to bless us and give us life. We who had no spiritual life in us, He gave life. We who were void, He filled us with His Spirit. We who are without understanding or knowledge, He fills us with His Word. And He fills us with hope. To Jesus Christ, His Son. What we see now is all going to pass away in the twinkling of an eye. And Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. And He's creating a new heaven and a new earth in which we will dwell forevermore. And a holy city, Jerusalem, that will descend. And we shall be with the Lord forever. And He shall be with us. And there will be no night, for He is our light. Those are the promises and many more He gives to the believer. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you have a desire to repent of your past and begin a new walk with Him in a right direction, the way that leads to eternal life, and you are willing to be immersed in waters for the remission of your sins, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing Jack's number.